In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A friend of mine was looking after a friend's child. "I'm hungry," says the child. "I'll make you a jam sandwich then." "Not that sort of hungry," came the response. Now, you and I won't want to admit being like that, will we? But we probably are. Not that sort of hungry. The world of difference from being hungry, that is, needing food to continue living, functioning properly, and knowing that we'd enjoy eating something. And I think we ought to bear that in mind when we think about the bread of life. Real food, says Jesus. Real drink. Well, clearly not in the sense that without it our bodies can't work properly. But our spirits? Are they suffering from the sort of hungry that Jesus is dealing with? Perhaps we do well to understand what it is to be spiritually hungry before we can know what it is to be spiritually fed. So what were the people of his audience at the time hungry for? Well, the more serious of them would have wanted to see Israel prosper as the people of God, as they had done in the days of the Old Testament of David and Solomon and such like. And that meant some of them were hungry particularly to see the fulfillment of the law of God, believing that the reason that things were not as they should be was the people had broken the law so often. So the Pharisees were particularly scrupulous about observing the law and demanding that everybody else did too. So one group hungering for obedience to God's law. Another group more politically minded. Some of them known as the Zealots, were out to re-establish, the kingdom of Israel as it was known in the time of David and Solomon. In other words, to chuck the Romans out. And they were looking forward to bloody battles with the Romans. And Jesus' claim to be the bread of life would have gone down like a lead balloon to both of those groups, wouldn't it? But such a claim does demand of us that we ask ourselves what it is we really, really want. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And interesting, Matthew puts those words pretty close to, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." If you're that kind of hungry, come, take, eat. Not in a literal sense, but in the sense of which Jesus meant it. Receive him. Let him be at the centre of your life. Not some periphery which, oh, incidentally, I go to church sometimes. But now at the very basis of what happens. And St. Paul goes on about how we ought to let Christ dominate the whole of life. He instructs us to sing hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times. How many of us can manage that? All times. And for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, on whom we depend to live in any spiritual sense. And this service is intended to exemplify that as we take bread together. Now, this tiny piece of bread won't help you if you're hungry physically. It won't make physical hunger go away, but it does indicate what we must do, not just for our bodily selves, but for our true selves, our spirits. Coming to Jesus for what we need. Looking to him for everything we can do. Everything. Whether it feels religious or not. Depending on him, on his gifts, for everything. Receiving that little bit of bread, that tiny sip of wine, is an indication of that fact. It's not a piece of magic. Terribly tempting, isn't it, to understand that business about anyone who eats this bread will live forever. Seems a bit much to talk about a tiny bit of bread in that way. And it is. But it is just a statement of fact about where we can be alive. Not in a kingdom of our own or of any human being, but in the kingdom of God established by Jesus, which is here, unseen and so often unrecognized, but here nonetheless, inviting us in. Just think back a sec to those who first heard these words of Jesus. The Pharisees were determined that everybody should keep the law. They were establishing a kingdom of their own, when they could be in charge of everybody's behavior. And the detail they go into is incredible. Or the zealots, on the other hand, determined to take things into their own hands and throw the Romans out, establishing a kingdom which they got their own way. And in our own individual ways, we tend to be just the same. We want things to go our way, to have our will done, to establish my kingdom. So take this bread, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, as the prayer says, and recognize that it's not you that should be at the center of your actions, not me that should be at the center of my actions. But what we receive from Jesus, all that he offers us in the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. And depending on those gifts alone, we will see satisfied our hunger, which I hope is very much there, and thirst after righteousness. Just one more word about hunger. Yes, as individuals we can be hungry. We can be satisfied with a fairly basic meal. And actually, one of the worst things you can do for somebody who's really hungry is to give them an enormous meal and they can't cope with it. But there's another sort of hunger we engage in, isn't there, sometimes? And that's the sort that's involved in banqueting. Now, I know banqueting is not one of those things that you all engage in regularly. We all occasionally like a special meal. And we're probably going to eat too much. More than we should. But the key difference there is we're hungry not so much to feed ourselves, but to share our meal with lots of others, or a few others. But the key is who else is eating with us. And the fascinating thing about the proclamation of Jesus is that both of those aspects are there. In today's reading, he seems to be talking about individuals. I'm the bread of life. One who eats me will live, will be satisfied. But on how many occasions Jesus talks, in the Old Testament indeed, talks about banquets, the feast of the kingdom of God. So as we look at hunger and satisfying it at a level of relative poverty, be prepared to think too about being rich. But remember that you can't be rich on your own. You can only be rich among all those in the kingdom of God. The bread of life is to be taken, yes, but to be shared. We're called not to be Christians on our own, but the people of God together, living out in this world, in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, that God calls us to, and that Jesus is the essence of. So we eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand and confess our faith in the creed which is at the bottom of page 4. We affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We sit for our intercessions.
We pray in confidence, knowing that we bring our prayers to a merciful and everlasting God. Today we ask for your blessing to be upon this congregation, upon our church here in Gloucester, and for churches across the world. Father, help us to realise our need to draw closer to you, to receive the strength and the power that you have planned for us. We become better as we dedicate ourselves to living your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Pour your blessings upon this, our church community, on our bishops Rachel and Robert, our Archdeacon Hilary and our Area Dean Joe, and for their ministry with us. We pray especially for the Reverend James, Mike, Charles and Pat, for the church wardens Ruth and myself, and the PCC and all who work tirelessly in this parish. We give thanks for all the different ways we celebrate God's word in this, the parish of St. Paul and St. Stephen's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There are wars and riots, unsafe places, and the threats created by climate change, advanced technologies, and division. We live in a world which has plenty, but people are starving. Forgive those who argue about and fight and ill-treat the gifts of nature all around us. In this in-between time, as our season prepares for autumnal change, we can still see and smell the summer, the fields of colour, and we rejoice in that restoring rain, birdsong and wildlife. We receive your blessings without a thought, as if it was some right, but we know that you send down your love upon us, and it is by grace that we receive it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There are those who live with pollution and disease. It is not your withholding of grace that prevents it, but the interference and exploitation by people who are greedy or think their plans are better. So we pray for those who live in poverty and environments where people are exploited and ill-used by corrupt, incapable and cruel people and governments. We pray for the areas of your world where this leads to war, to violence and to oppression. We pray against cruelty in all its forms and for all peoples persecuted in society for being different. We pray for those who are persecuted for their religious beliefs, and we pray for justice and the protection of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for prayers for our friends and for those we love. We ask for help for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, and for those in hospital or residential care. Pour your blessings on all those who care for the vulnerable. We pray for those who face a life-changing decision, for those who will make self-sacrifices for the sake of their families, for families where love is breaking down, and for the children of broken homes, for those in debt, people in housing need, and those with little food. We give thanks for the wisdom that can be found from grandparents and from those who can only look on and worry about their family. Keep safe all family members who may find themselves in dangerous places, and pray for all who are lonely and separated. May your Holy Spirit bring comfort and healing to all in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves, Lord. We give thanks that you are there when things get tough, when the world seems difficult to understand. May we remind ourselves to be still and wait for your words of encouragement, preventing us from jumping ahead without you. Those guiding words we always need to hear. You are always with us. We are never alone. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can walk together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today especially for Lucy, having received her A-level results. We pray for Criselda, who had her 90th birthday this week. We pray for Sandra and Ken Summerall, Bernard and June, Sue and family, Mandy and Ellen. And in her year's mind, we pray for Ellen Popel, Viv's mother. During the week ahead, may we hear your voice. May we help to show others of your love as our hearts and our minds grow to be more and more like you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you are able, we stand for the peace. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God by his body on the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of peace.